Shavuot is an awesome holy day. And Exodus 19, verse 1 and 2 says, in the third month after the children of Israel had gone out from the land of Egypt, on the same day they came to the wilderness of Sinai. So Israel camped there before the mountain. The children of Israel had just been redeemed by the blood of the Passover lamb. By faith, they had applied the blood of those innocent animals to their doorposts in obedience to the command of God. Then he opened up the Red Sea for them. What a guy. And delivered them from bondage in a very dramatic way. They were free now. Free people. Saved by the grace of God. But it has been rightly said that the true freedom was theirs only after they received God's Torah on Mount Sinai. For then they would know how to live out their faith. You could be free and run amok and never know what to do. That's not freedom, is it? They would know what to do to receive God's blessing and what not to do to avoid being cursed. Would you like to be blessed by God or cursed by God? What would you like? In other words, the truth would set them free. By careful calculation, the authorities determined that God gave the law to Moses on the day of Shavuot, which literally means weeks and occurs 7 weeks plus one day, 50 days total, following the Feast of First Fruits. In English, this feast today is known as Pentecost, since the word penta means 50 in Greek. If you celebrate Greek, call it Pentecost. I don't celebrate Greek. Shavuot this year is, for the Jewish people, was Tuesday and Wednesday. Or no, it was Wednesday and Thursday. And for the church people is tomorrow. And so we're right in the middle. We're the wall. So we do it both today, I guess. Nobody seems to know the correct date. And I'm not going to argue with you about that. You're right, I'm right, he's right, and you're right. The giving of the Torah on Mount Sinai is generally referred to as the revelation, or Matan in Hebrew, Matan Torah. This pivotal event in the life of the Jewish people, and indeed the history of all mankind, was accompanied by thunder and lightning. Woo, whoopee, we don't want any of that here. A quaking mountain, we don't have any mountains, fire, clouds of smoke, and the piercing sound of a shofar. We do have one of those. God was really trying to get the attention of his children, don't you think, huh? He spoke 10 things to them, which at one time formed the moral and ethical code of many of the nations of the world, including the United States of America. And we call them the Ten Commandments, and they begin with the words, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. When God had finished speaking, the Israelites were trembling. In chapter 20, verse 18, they asked Moshe to speak with them because if God spoke with them, they were afraid they would die. I told you last week, they didn't want to meet this guy. Moses replied, do not fear, for God has come to test you, and that his fear may be before you so that you may not sin. So the ten, the perfect ten, are in a sense a test. You ever get a test in school with just 10 questions? They let us know what God considers sin. You can actually use the Ten Commandments to bring about an awareness of sin. I mean, that's how good they are. He has seen, I've seen lots of people just come to tears when they hear the Ten Commandments. They probably, a lot of people have never heard them ever. Nobody, yeah, in this world. In fact, they take them off of courthouses nowadays. They take them off of public buildings and they hide them. They don't want anybody to see them. So God gave Moses various laws after the Ten Commandments to guide the life of his people. There was laws concerning servants. There was violence, animal control, responsibility for property, moral and ceremonial principles, justice, Sabbaths, and three annual pilgrim feasts. He also gave them detailed instructions about building a sanctuary and all the stuff that goes in it. And so the revelation given by Moses is recorded in what we call five books, also known as the Pentateuch, or in Hebrew, Chumash, which means five. While these five books, and they're in that scroll right there, we read from them today, called the Torah, contain much more law, we're just going to talk about what we learned today, about the 10, right? Although I could have added an 11th one today. Thou shalt not dishonor God by having your cell phone go off during the reading of the 10 Commandments. People need to have a little more respect for the word. We've already seen that redemption from Egypt preceded the giving of the law to God's people Israel. Therefore, people could not be made right with God on the basis of obeying the law. If you want to get right with God, you don't do it by being obedient to him, do you? There we go again. But they could please God, okay? I'm not reading the word, so I guess it's okay. They could show him their love for him by their submission to his will, and they could not find out what was and what was not sin. Rabbi Shaul, some of you call him the Apostle Paul, explains the purpose of the law in Romans chapter 3. Verses 19 and 20, he says, "Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin." How many of you know what sin is? You don't know what sin is until you've read God's law. You didn't know it was okay to steal, not okay to steal, until you read, "Thou shalt not steal." Is the law bad? Romans 7:7 says, "Is the law sin?" Certainly not. On the contrary, "I would not have known sin except through the Torah. For I would not have known covetousness unless the Torah has said, 'You shall not covet.'" Rabbi Shaul concludes the portion of Scripture by saying, "Therefore the law is holy and the commandment is holy and just and good." Isn't that the same thing in being a parent? If we never told our little ones, little guys, girls, it's wrong to take something that doesn't belong to you, or you should always tell the truth, how would they know the difference between right and wrong? Standards, you know what standards do? They set boundaries, okay? Law defines sin. Proverbs 1:8 says it well, "My son, hear the instructions of your father and do not forsake the law of your mother." D.L. Moody was a great man in the 19th century, and he's been quoted as saying, "God, being a perfect God, had to give a perfect law, and the law was given not to serve men, but to measure them." So, how do you measure up? Commandment number one: is God first in your life? Before your DVR, before your remote, before your Toyota. Well, are there idols in your life? Commandment number two: your Toyota, your DVR. Number three, do you ever take the name of the Lord in vain? Well, I'll tell you, when I was out there in the world, I did that all the time, and it's really hard to break that habit, isn't it? And I'll tell you, I'm guilty of it sometimes. And I don't mean it, and I ask for forgiveness when it happens, but it's hard. Number four, do you keep the Sabbath day holy? How many of you are going to the mall when you leave here today? You're not going to tell me. Who's going to raise their hand? Someone who's guilty. Commandment number 5, do you honor your father and your mother? Well, I'll tell you, that's hard, you know. I never met my mother till I was 42 years old, but my father and me, we never got along. I didn't like talking to him. And when he died, I never really honored him. And I said, well, how am I going to honor my father? Well, he married a woman 52 years before he died, who was my stepmother, a Japanese lady. And she's the only one left. He loved her. And now I call her every day, and I talk to her. She lives in New Jersey in a retirement home, and she's all alone. And she's a survivor of Nagasaki, the atomic bomb blast there. I call her every day, and we have become such close friends now that it's just amazing. She can't get through her day without hearing from me, and I can't get through my day without talking to her. So what a blessing, and that's how I honor my father. So there's ways that you can honor your father and mother. Commandment number 6, have you ever taken a stand against murder, abortion? Number 7, have you ever had sex outside of marriage? Number 8, have you ever taken anything that was not yours? That includes government pens if you work for the civil service. Airline plastic cups. I have a collection of them. But you made them, so I guess that's all right. Commandment number 9 is lying, part of your life. I had to tell the truth, Roger. At number 10, do you envy what other people have? We're all guilty before a holy God, Romans 3:19. We all fall short of his standards. I don't care who you are. You are not perfect. Right. Hank Aaron was fairly perfect, but he wasn't perfect. The law is a schoolmaster that shows us that we need a Savior. Yeshua, he is the Messiah. What purpose then does the Torah serve? It was added because of transgressions till the seed, Messiah, should come to whom the promise was made, Galatians 3, verse 19. What happens when Jews and Gentiles receive Yeshua and are justified by faith? Romans 3:31, do we then make void the Torah through faith? Certainly not. On the contrary, we establish the law. Joseph Shulam is one of my favorite commentators. He's a messianic. And his commentary on Romans explains this verse as follows. Paul assures his Jewish readers that faithfulness to Yeshua does not annul the Torah, but makes it stand as the goal of God's righteousness to all men, both Jews and Gentiles. You ever put a chart on the wall and say, I'm going to progress from here to there, and you got this little thing and you start coloring it in? Think of that as the Torah. And I'm starting here with sin, and I'm going to work my way up. Fill that bottle. How about that? Yeshua was the only person who ever was on the earth who kept all of the 613 commandments found in the Torah. It is impossible for a human being to do that. But that was because he is God. No mere man can keep that entire Torah. Yeshua's most important comment about the law was in Matthew 5:17 through 19, do not think that I came to destroy the Torah or the prophets. I did not come to destroy it, but to fulfill it. For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law until all is fulfilled. Whoever then breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so. It's okay to eat pork chops, guy. No. Shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. There are some who say that the law has passed away. This is not true according to the words of our Messiah, since heaven and earth They're still with us. Yeshua came to fulfill. That means to make full, to render complete in every particular, to bring to realization, to interpret properly the law. He is the fulfillment of the law. Romans 13:10 says that love is the fulfillment of the law. Not hate, love. God is love. He fulfills the law through his son Yeshua. This does not make the law obsolete. Yeshua raised the law to its highest standards. There's a book, Gospel According to Moses, mentions that the Sermon on the Mount is essentially a commentary on the Torah portion, Mishpatim. Mishpatim is a portion in Exodus that has over 50 laws in it. It's the longest section of laws in one part of the Torah. A comparison of Exodus 22 and 23 and Matthew 5 will demonstrate that Yeshua's followers live under very strenuous requirements, far above those that commanded through Moses. I would rather do the commandments under Moses than under Yeshua because they're a lot easier. If you're looking for the easy way out, follow Moses. If you're looking for the hard way out, follow Jesus. But if you're not following either, you're in trouble. In his sermon, Yeshua raises the standard of behavior from do not strike, Moses said, don't hit anybody, to Jesus says, don't even be angry enough to strike. Boy, that's hard. From take a life for our life to turn the other cheek. Get even or forget about it. Or from charge no interest to give away all you have and follow me. Who's easier? The Messiah went beyond the letter of the law and taught his Talmudim about the spirit of the law. His underlying focus, though, was always love. He said the entire law could be summed up in two commandments: love God and love your neighbor. The Messiah fulfilled the law by becoming the once and for all eternal sacrifice for sin, and by providing the power of his followers to obey the law of God by faith, working through love. Through the new covenant, the law is engraved on the fleshly tablets of our hearts rather than on tablets of stone. This causes us to proclaim Psalm 119, verse 97. Oh, how I love your law! It is my meditation all the day. Daniel Gruber in Torah and a New Covenant wrote, for both Jews and Gentiles, there are changes that take place when the law that God has given us is written on our hearts. It becomes second nature to us. It is no longer an external standard that we strive to attain, but a life that proceeds from the Spirit of God that's dwelling within us. Through the New Covenant, God put his law, his statutes and ordinance and his spirit into the hearts of the people. And you don't read about that in the New Testament. You read about that in Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 26 through 28. I will take away your heart of flesh and give you a new heart, your heart of stone and give you a new heart. David Stern in his New Testament commentary, Yeshua's death and resurrection brought an end to the need for the Jewish people to try to earn God's favor through the system which results from perverting the Torah into legalism. This oppressive legalistic system kept the Jewish people imprisoned under God until Yeshua came. God's plan has always been that his people might turn from legalistic rule following to trusting and being faithful to Yeshua with his law engraved on their hearts. When are they going to start doing that? The Lord has been speaking to us about the lawlessness that has overtaken our country and our world. This is a sign of the end times. Yeshua, in instructing his Talmudim concerning the days in which we live, said in Matthew 24, 12 through 14, and because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold, but he who endures to the end shall be saved, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. What exactly is lawlessness? Sin is lawlessness. It is living as if there were no absolutes, no divine standards, no law of God. 1 John 3:4, whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. The Greek word they use is anomia, which means absence of law or absence of Torah. It is lawlessness when the law says you shall not murder, and we murder 3,700 babies every day in our country that never get born. It is lawlessness when the law says you shall not commit adultery, and millions of people engage in extramarital and premarital affairs and live together with no thought of getting married. Oprah Winfrey, who y'all think is great, has been rightly called the high priestess of the new morality. She's a vocal proponent of lawlessness. She encourages homosexuality if anyone feels at all inclined, and has said that she could never worship a God who said he was jealous. Commandment number 4. Of course, she doesn't understand a God who is so passionate for his people that he jealously yearns for them to live according to his law so that they might be blessed. It is lawlessness when most of the sitcoms on TV mock parents, especially fathers. I quit watching comedies on TV when Father Knows Best went off the air, and that was in the 50s, because all I ever saw was Dad being demeaned on every TV show there ever was. I always saw the dad getting put down by his wife, put down by his children. And I, to this day, will not watch a comedy on TV. My wife can attest to that. I do not. Yeah. Honor your father and mother, commandment number 5. It's not an old-fashioned concept. It is obedience to the word of God. God's law has not only been removed from many public places, but it seems to have been removed from many homes as well. The moral fiber of our society is swiftly unraveling. We would do well to have tassels on our garments all the time, like the Israelites of old. The Lord says to Moses in Numbers 15, you're supposed to wear these all day long, not just when we show up here. Yeshua also exhorted his followers to keep his commandments as a proof of their love for him. You want to say you love Yeshua, then prove it. Lawlessness could even mean eternal separation from the Messiah. He himself said, Matthew 7:21-23, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in the day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Have we not cast out demons in your name and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Those who choose to live as though God's law does not exist will suffer terrible external consequences. Eternal, not external. Eternal. See Matthew 13:40-41. They are agreeing in spirit with the one coming who will proclaim a free world from God's law. Can you imagine that guy's going to say that? Thessalonians 2:7-9. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the work of Hasatan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders. This guy is called the Antichrist, the Anti-Messiah. And he is yet to appear. And people are going to embrace him big time. But you need to reject him. You need to reject the spirit. You need to fulfill the law by loving God and loving your neighbor as yourself. Amen.